Welcome to the All Things Nintendo Podcast. I'm Brian Shea from Game Informer, and this is a weekly podcast to discuss all the biggest news and games from the world of Nintendo. Pokemon Day 2023 has come and gone, so we are going to chat all about what the show brought and a little bit about what it didn't bring. We also have a tiny bit of news to touch on and to close out the loop on our Pokemon Day predictions from last week. We have Wesley LeBlanc returning. Wesley, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I wish I was doing better based on our predictions for last week's Pokemon Direct, but you know, we're trucking through.
We are. We had some predictions that we are actually going to go over beat by beat in the main segment. We're going to save our Pokemon news for that segment. So we're going to kick things off with just a few small pieces of news to get to here. First up, the first part of Splatoon 3's expansion pass is quietly available now. Did you even notice this happened?
No, I saw a tweet. It was like somebody was in Inkopolis. Like they posted a picture of it and I was like, wait, what? Is this live?
Yeah, like they announced the expansion pass during the Direct last month. And then like, they're like, it'll be available. I don't even know if they gave us a date back then. But like, I saw people posting videos and I was like, oh, this thing must be out now.
Yeah.
And this is first part of two. And this one gives you Inkopolis from the first Splatoon as a hub that you can use. And this is the only premium release for this wave of the expansion pass. But the second wave actually sounds much cooler. Like this actually looks pretty underwhelming. I was watching a video, I think it was NintendoLife.com. They had a video where they were kind of walking around Inkopolis and it looks like they faithfully recreated it. But like it seems like it's just like completely superfluous. It doesn't seem like there's any kind of like special stuff that happens there. Like it looks like all the stuff that you can get in the normal hub of Splatoon 3 is just transposed to this. So it's like, oh, it's like an aesthetic thing more than anything else, or a nostalgic thing.
Yeah, I guess if you just want the nostalgia, which I mean, that would be cool. I remember Splatoon 1 fondly, but yeah, it's a weird. Yeah, like they didn't bring back any of the maps associated with it or anything like that. Super strange.
Not for the premium stuff, but they are bringing back maps. I don't know if they brought them back specific to this wave, but they have been steadily introducing returning maps as part of the free content updates. But as far as like the premium stuff goes for the expansion pass, the second wave sounds so much cooler. And that's the side order DLC that adds Inkopolis Square from Splatoon 2. And then new single player content, which I am so stoked for.
Me too.
But this release actually coincides with the season 3 free content update, which adds new weapons, returning stages, plus a Salmon Run event with new bosses. Salmon Run is also, it got a mode called Extra Work. Very good pun there. Which it's a limited time competitive friends only event where you can battle to see who gets the highest score across 5 waves of Salmon Run. And this also, this update added the ability to play online against friends in Table Turf Battle. So I'm not quite ready to dive back into this, but I think that Side Order DLC will be when I really start digging back into Splatoon 3.
Yeah, I think so. Me too. We'll see, though. I have fallen off a bit of Splatoon 3, even though I really, really enjoyed it last year, but that might be what I need to get back in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always down for more single player content from Splatoon. Like it's vastly underrated, as I've said many times on the show. So Wes, we just had Pokemon Day, which, you know, that celebrates the anniversary of the first Pokemon games coming out in Japan. So that's a good like kind of circle date on the calendar every single year to celebrate the anniversary of the series, one of the biggest series on the planet. But however, we have a week from today, Mario Day. You know about this?
Yes. Yeah, I've heard of that guy before.
It doesn't celebrate an anniversary. What does it celebrate? March 10th.
Woo-hoo.
Because MAR10 looks like the name Mario.
Love it.
Definitely just as monumental of an event as Pokemon Day, if you ask me. anyway, we got some info on how Nintendo is planning on celebrating Mario Day. First up, there is a Nintendo Switch Mario Choose One bundle that comes with red Joy-Cons and then gives you the option to choose one Mario game between Odyssey, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. And then it also comes with stickers from the upcoming Super Mario Bros. Movie. And that's that bundle. And then there's also, we're getting the fourth wave of DLC for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. We got a release date as well. So that comes out on March 9th. And it includes the following courses as part of the new Fruit Cup and Boomerang Cup. So we have Amsterdam Drift from Mario Kart Tour, Bangkok Rush from Mario Kart Tour, Singapore Speedway from Mario Kart Tour, which again, I know not a lot of people play Mario Kart Tour who are like, you know, big gamers. Those courses have all been bangers in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Like, I'm glad they're bringing them over because they are often the most interesting, or at least among the most interesting. I know they don't have the nostalgia factor, but for me, they're all new courses because I've never played Mario Kart Tour for any significant amount of time. So it's nice that like we have these tracks coming over that I've just never experienced, which is it's great. And then the nostalgic courses are Riverside Park from Super Circuit, Mario Circuit from DS, Waluigi Stadium from Double Dash, and DK Summit from Wii. And then we're getting an all new course in the form of Yoshi's Island, which they did announce on the Direct earlier, or I guess last month. And then you may also recall from the Nintendo Direct, this is the first time we're getting an additional character through the DLC, Birdo. And I asked Ben Hansen about this when he was on the show for the Nintendo Direct recap. What other returning characters do you want to see appear on in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe's DLC?
Oh, gosh. Returning characters?
What other characters? Just any characters. Because they have said that they are going to be putting new or more returning characters after Birdo in order to get in order to fill out this roster of characters through the booster course pass.
I'm trying to think of returning characters. I can't think of a returning one, but maybe from I don't know. I mean, I think for me, one of the more exciting parts of 8 and Deluxe was the new characters that are outside of like Nintendo you know, typical Mario Kart offerings,
like Link Isabelle.
Yeah, and the Squid Kids, like that's my main in Mario Kart is the
really
Squid Kid, I think the guy Inkling. One, I don't remember. Yeah, Inkling, that's right.
So here, let me ask you that. Here, I'll give you the list here. I was bringing up my notes from that Nintendo Direct episode, and I gave Ben the list of characters that have been in past Mario games or Mario Kart games, but have not appeared in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe yet. So we have Diddy Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Funky Kong, Honey Queen, which is like the B character from Galaxy, Koopa Paratroopa, Pauline, Musician Mario, which is by all accounts a creation specifically for Mario Kart Tour, Petey Piranha, Rob, Wiggler, Peachette, Hammer Bro, Boomerang Bro, and Kamek.
I want Wiggler. So really? I can use the Wiggler motorbike.
Wiggler riding it.
Wiggler on Wiggler action.
Yes.
That's interesting. I didn't know that, though, all those characters were in other Mario Kart games. Are a lot of those from Tour, or?
Some of them are. I think, like, Pauline and Musician Mario and the Hammer Bro and Boomerang Bro are, but and, like, Peachette, probably. But the other ones, I think, like, Kamek was originally a character in Mario Kart 64, I believe, and then they added either Wario or Donkey Kong in his place, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, that's a throwback. And then Donkey Kong Jr. was in Super Mario Kart on SNES, but then, I mean, he was just called Donkey Kong in that, but like they replaced him with the Donkey Kong Country model of Donkey Kong in Mario Kart 64, and they just kind of retroactively named Donkey Kong Jr., that character, Donkey Kong Jr., in subsequent appearances. So in Mario Kart Tour, they added Donkey Kong Jr. with like his SNES sprite from Mario Kart.
And, oh, that's cool.
That would be cool if they added something like that. It's like a very like retro style character, and it's great. It looks very cool. I've seen videos of it. But yeah, I don't know. I like that they're adding returning characters. Like, just make this like the Mario Kart, just rename it Mario Kart 8 Ultimate at this point. Yeah. Like, cause it's like they're adding all the courses, they're adding returning characters now. So just make it an all-in-one stop for anything Mario Kart that you want to experience here.
What's your thoughts on the Yoshi's Island level? It's interesting that it's just a brand new course. Do you think it's going to be like maybe a tease of what they're cooking up for Mario Kart 9, or do you think they just wanted to throw in something fun here?
You thinking kind of like how Street Fighter 5, the final DLC character,
yes,
was Luke, the main character from Street Fighter 6, but they didn't tell anybody that that was who this was. That everybody just thought it was a new character.
Yeah, like it's just because this is the first brand new level, right?
Yeah, because they put a lot of tour levels, which again, for a lot of people are brand new levels. But yeah, this is the first original creation for this booster course pass.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I wonder if I wouldn't be surprised if we got a new course, brand new course in the other three waves or four waves coming. And yeah, I'm going to be on the lookout for this one to see if it's teasing anything that we might be able to see in 9. It's very interesting. It kind of reminds me of, I'm going to look at it the same way like Pixar movies, how they tease, like if you can find a little something that hints at what's next in Pixar's lineup. Because I don't know, like why else do a random new track? Like theoretically, we have a new Mario Kart game in 2 years' time, and that this isn't just going to be in that or held for that is interesting.
I mean, at this point, do they just bring forward Mario Kart 8 to whatever new console they put out and then just like I said, rebrand it like Mario Kart Ultimate and just make it a platform? Like I really think that would be a more well-liked thing. Maybe add like double dash mode. Like that's the only thing I can think of that would be fun, like as a new addition for gameplay to the Mario Kart franchise, is just bring forward Mario Kart 8 to whatever, like Switch 2 or whatever it's called, just rebrand it Mario Kart Ultimate, have all the same stuff, all the courses and everything, but add like double dash mode where there's like the two characters on the cart, like in Double Dash.
Or maybe we can fly like Diddy Kong Racing.
Add some biplane action there.
Yeah.
But then the last way that Nintendo is celebrating that we're going to talk about, I mean, there's some other stuff that just doesn't seem noteworthy enough, but there is going to be a sale or two on the eShop for games featuring Mario and his friends. So starting March 10th, Mario Day, Mario Party Superstars, which is, I believe, the good one. It's very confusing because there's Super Mario Party and Mario Party Superstars. And Mario Party Superstars, I believe, is the one that's like the compilation of like the best games, best minigames. Mario Party Superstars, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, Yoshi's Crafted World, starting on March 10th, will be on sale in the eShop. And then there's a second wave of sales featuring Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Super Mario Odyssey, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, Super Mario Maker 2, and Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. That starts on March 24th. So
cool. So people can buy the best Mario game ever made at a discounted rate.
Yeah, Super Mario Odyssey.
Super Mario 3D World.
I mean, again, I love both of those games dearly.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong with Mario. Just pick one and you're going to have a good time.
Exactly. And Super Mario Maker 2, also very underrated on the Switch. Like, I love Super Mario Maker 2. I've made some really fun levels on there.
Somebody made, it was either Super Mario Bros. 4 or a sequel to Super Mario World. I can't remember, but it's like a really well done. They basically like tried to recreate a sequel to Super Mario World, and it's very, very good.
God, I wish that they would have supported that a little bit more. I know there were like rumors that they were going to do Mario 2, like USA Mario 2.
Yeah.
As a theme. Because like if you look, there's like a space next to the Mario 3D World theme for like another one that's like completely distinct from the other level themes or game themes. And I think that the sales were probably not what they wanted. And that's why they just added a mushroom that allows you to access Mario 2 sprite and moveset, because they're probably like, oh, we built this stuff, but like we never really were able to build it out as a full theme.
Yeah.
That's my theory. And that seems to be like, that was a kind of a widely held theory, but I highly recommend Super Mario Maker 2. They added the ability to make it so you could have like worlds and everything that you could create. Like you could create your own like game essentially out of
that person
levels.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome, like creating your own overworld map, which is awesome. And I wish that it was more popular and they were able to support it just a little bit more to get us like to kind of, I mean, it already is kind of the ultimate version of it, but like, you know, there's make it so that there's not even any like wish list options available.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we're getting to with Mario Kart 8.
I think that the problem is they marketed so much of the building aspect when like, if you aren't interested in that, there's still like a very solid like Mario campaign to go through. Like,
and also unlimited levels from people around the world, which is like the stuff they should really market it. Cause it's like, I've told people like, oh, Mario Maker, you can just make your own levels. And they're like, I don't know if I'm like creative enough for that. And I'm like, well, it's fun to mess around in regardless. But also there's 100 levels from Nintendo and then just infinite levels from across the world.
Yeah. And they range from fun and quirky to just standard good levels. And then there's like the masochist ones where, yeah, you just like, I love watching videos of people trying to beat those like insanely hard Mario levels.
Oh, it's so much fun. I love like some of them even have even become memes, right? Where it's like trying to get through Monday without coffee. And it's like that Mario level of he's jumping with all the spinning fire bars and everything.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because you have to beat your level in order to upload it. So
that's impossible
as it seems, like somebody beat it.
Yeah. There are like ways that you can get around that where it's like you just put like a hidden block that nobody would ever find that gives you the item that you need.
I never even thought about that.
And you just know how, like, there's like a gap that you can't get across unless you find like the feather or whatever, so you can get the cape and fly across, but like it's hidden somewhere in like a hidden block somewhere that only you know where it is. So it's like trial and error until you find it, which is a pain. I've seen levels like that and I'm like, okay, this is like abusing it a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a good policy to have in there. But yeah, so that's Mario Day festivities. And then wrapping up this pretty short news section here, we have a new release date for the Super Mario Brothers movie, which kind of caught us off guard. But unlike how we're conditioned in the games industry, this movie actually got moved up closer to now. It's not a substantial bump up, but new Super Mario Brothers movie now arrives 2 days earlier. Instead of Friday, April 7th, it now comes out Wednesday, April 5th. Wes, does this change your plans in how you're seeing this in any way whatsoever? Like, do you think you're going to be going out on Wednesday instead of like the original Thursday night or Friday evening showing you were probably going to hit up?
Yeah, I'm there like whatever that if I can get tickets to opening night, I'm there opening night for sure, which is going to be so it comes out on Wednesday now. So I guess Tuesday.
Yeah, like that's the weird thing, right? Because like release dates for movies are so strange because it's like it comes out Friday, April 7th. And it's like, all right, cool. I'll see you Thursday, April 6th.
Yeah.
It's so weird. But like, so I guess maybe like Tuesday night is when the first showings will be.
I kind of want those because I feel like, I mean, no disrespect to people with kids and stuff, but like I feel like watching this movie with kids will be a different experience than watching this movie without kids because they're going to be shouting and hooting and hollering and stuff. It's a kid's movie. That's what it's about. Yeah, same. But yeah, like if I go Tuesday evening at like 10 or midnight or whatever, that might be like the perfect showing for me.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like going a little bit later, like, I don't know. I've also had my fair share of adult jackasses in movies.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars Episode 3, Thor Ragnarok, The Batman. All of those movies have been ruined by idiots in my theaters. And none of those idiots were below the age of 18.
Yeah, that's typically how it goes. If a kid's getting excited at a movie, I'll be excited for them. It's just when I'm watching a movie for the first time, I like to, you know, focus on the movie. But like when I go see it a second or third time, because I'm sure I will, I like hope it's packed with kids because it'd be so fun to just see them, their excitement at Mario.
Oh my god, yeah, I'm right there with you. Especially like, I mean, I'm probably gonna be as excited as any of those kids, but I'll do my best to keep it together.
Yeah, we have to. We don't have excuses. They are kids, they can freak out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm probably still planning on going to the earliest showing imaginable. But we'll see. I don't know. Like, it makes it a little bit dicier when it's like a Tuesday night instead of a Thursday night because I don't know. It's interesting because sometimes I'll have more plans on a Thursday night, but other times it's like I'm kind of conditioned that if there's a movie coming out, I'll just keep my Thursdays clear.
Yeah.
Though I still haven't seen Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania yet because mostly because of the reactions out of it. And I'm like,
I haven't seen it either. But so it might be the first Marvel movie I don't see in theaters. I'm planning to go see it in theaters, but I just haven't. I'm not super motivated to go see it. So,
yeah, I mostly want to, at risk of turning this into a Marvel podcast, I mostly just want to go to see Jonathan Majors because I think he's an incredible actor and I want to see Kang kind of in full force.
Same.
But yeah, Mario coming out April 5th now instead of April 7th. So I guess we have a shorter time to wait to kind of break down. Probably a good thing because we'll be able to do a full review and I'll have enough time to digest it on this episode. Cause you know, I record these on Thursdays, so it would have been challenging to record on a record on a Friday morning, I guess, after seeing the movie on Thursday night. So yeah, that's actually good. It gives me more of a chance to like gather my thoughts before getting in front of the mic to record my review here.
It's still so funny that this is like getting pushed up for everyone else, but in Japan, you know, the home of Mario, you have to wait till April 28th.
It is very strange. I'm wondering if that's like just the availability of voice actors or what. Mm. Like what is the purpose for that? Is it just like maybe there's...
Imagine maybe because Illumination is... I don't think they're a Japanese-based animation studio. Like they're, I don't want to say they're a company based in America, but like I know they're not based in Japan. So maybe it's just, you know, they're not working on Japan time.
That's the news, Wes. there's not a whole lot of news from this week, but I mean, aside from the obvious Pokemon Day news, which we are going to talk about right when we get back from this quick break. We will be right back. February 27th has been known as Pokemon Day for several years now, and most of the time, that means massive news and announcements for fans of the popular franchise from Game Freak, the Pokemon Company, and Nintendo. This year, we definitely got some news, but whether or not they were massive news pieces is up for debate. Wes, we're going to go chronologically here through the announcements, but I guess first up, without spoiling anything for people who are hearing this news for the first time on here, what was your overall impression of Pokemon Day 2023?
Mostly let down, which, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily fair because I had my expectations pretty high. But we got things I expected to get, and there were some glaring omissions that have me very puzzled about the future of Pokemon and Switch. Yeah, it was ultimately a letdown. I mean, especially compared to the past 2 years, which have been pretty stellar. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't compare.
Yeah, I was kind of right there with you. I was watching and watching and watching and being like, all right, there's going to be some big stuff at the end here. And debatable. Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into it right now. The show, as usual, was hosted by Tsunekazu Ishihara from the Pokemon Company. But this time he had a lifelike Pikachu plushie that was, you know, a little unsettling, to be honest. Like, it was a little bit Uncanny Valley. How'd you feel about that Pikachu?
Definitely strange. And it was weird. It was just, yeah. I mean, these kind of directs always have a little, you know, fun and quirkiness to them. But the Pikachu was weird.
The first segment was the announcement that for the first time ever, the Pokemon World Championships are coming to Japan. And I don't really follow the competitive scene, so we're not going to dig super deep into this. But I was shocked to learn that it had never been held in Japan.
Me too. Yeah.
Like, this, it's going to be in Yokohama, to be specific. But like, yeah, I was like, oh, of course they've done the Pokemon Championships in Japan. That's literally where it comes from. And no. I know it was London last year. Which is weird that it was last year, seeing as how that was when Scarlet and Violet came out and England was the kind of the base for the Galar region, which was the region of Sword and Shield. But yeah, it seemed like they were lagging behind a little bit there. But yeah, very strange that Japan had never hosted the Pokemon World Championships.
Yeah. And also, I mean, kind of on the same note, I wonder if like Spain would have been a good choice maybe this year, maybe next year Spain will be it, but just to kind of, you know, tie into Scarlet and Violet.
I'm trying to bring up, okay, here's where it has been before. 2022 was London. 2020 and 2021 were canceled because of COVID. 2019, oh, before that, the 6 years prior to that were all in the U.S., different cities in the U.S. 2013 was in Vancouver, Canada. And then all the years prior to that, dating back to the first year in 2004, were in different cities in the U.S. Very strange. Just, I guess I'm surprised that it had never been in Japan before. But yeah, Spain would have been a cool pick, given the Paldea region's inspiration seemingly is Spain.
Yeah, I mean, they got time. This will be the Scarlet Violet booster packs will be around for 3 years, probably, so...
Yeah, I would imagine we have a few years ahead of us before the next mainline game. But speaking of booster packs, next up we got a look at the Pokemon trading card game Classic, which this is a very intriguing trailer because you know, it started almost like the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet trailer, the reveal trailer from last year, Pokemon Presents live stream, where it's like a guy walking through with a briefcase. Before it was like a guy in a museum after hours, like, I guess, security opening up a secret door and finding like the teaser for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. This, I was like, oh, are they doing something else here? And no, it was actually an ad for a premium playset for the trading card game that looks like it's actually a kit made for adults to play. I've gotten several play mats for the Pokemon TCG, and they're all very, very cartoonish and colorful.
Mm-hmm.
But this actually seems like very premium, very high quality. It comes in a briefcase, and then you can unfold the play mat, which has a black and white color scheme and a felt surface. And I've got to say, like, it looks super elegant. I personally love how like the black and white theme makes it so that like the colorful Pokemon cards really pop on the surface. Mm-hmm. Like, they are obviously the emphasis and the focus of this set. It's great that, like, you know, it's just completely monochrome play surface. And then you have this giant like holographic Charizard that just steals the show basically as soon as you put it down, because there's not all this noise and color in the background.
Yeah, it's nice. There was no price attached to it, right?
We'll get to that. the set also comes with stackable damage counters, three dimensional poison and burn markers, heavy aluminum damage counters. I already said that, but metal orbs that replace the traditional Pokemon coins. And you use the metal orbs to, like, you instead of flipping a coin or rolling dice, you put them down a chute. And it lands in like a specific hole, and one of them is marked as like a heads, and one of them is marked as a tails. It's very cool looking. Like, it looks classy, I think, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I like it. It's interesting because it's leaning into the side of the trading card game of people who actually play it. Whereas I feel like, at least in my circles, Pokemon trading cards are not about playing. They're just about opening booster packs and seeing what you get and collecting. So I wonder if anybody I know is going to be interested in buying this.
Well, this is the reason that I think a lot of people will be buying this set, is the three decks that come with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So each one is themed after fire, grass, or water. And with a name like Pokemon Trading Card Game Classic, you can probably guess the Pokemon who head those up, because they are headlined by reprints of base set Charizard, Venusaur, and Blastoise. And then the rest of the 60 card decks feature cards from the TCG's history. And then there will also be new cards featuring Ho-Oh, Lugia, and Suicune. So those are all new cards that are also
mixed in. Oh, I missed that part.
And then they actually mentioned that these decks will not be eligible for tournament play because they were designed and balanced to play against each other within this set. I mean, you can probably play with your friends with these if you want, but I think that because they're modeled after the base set and like classic game or classic cards, that they probably are just a little bit OP. Or maybe underpowered, who knows? But they're not eligible for tournament play. And we don't know a price or release date outside of late 2023. However, the Japanese listing of the set had it at 35,000 yen, which I ran a conversion, and that is currently about $257.
Oof.
So it's probably going to be pricey if that Japanese listing was accurate. But how are you feeling overall about this set?
I think it's really cool. It's cool. I didn't know the Suicune, Ho-Oh, and Lugia. That makes me infinitely more interested, because Suicune and Ho-Oh, for that matter, are some of my favorite legendaries. But yeah, I mean, it's the price point will be... I don't know, though, because I don't collect Pokemon cards, just because I know I have tendencies that would make it not healthy for me to do financially. But like, I know people that do spend money on these dang cards. So like, I don't know, $250 might actually be a pretty good deal. You're getting, you know, three very nice holographic classic cards. You're getting three decks, and then you get a cool, like, you know, play set with all these premium items on top of that. So like, I wouldn't be like, I know people who would spend $250 just to get those cards without even the premium play mat and all that. So I think it's pretty good little package.
Yeah, it's definitely appealing. As soon as they showed the cards that were included, as a collector who doesn't really play, I was like, oh, well, I'm getting this.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, who knows? They might only make like 1,000 of them and they sell out instantly, and then they're $10,000 on eBay immediately.
Or you'll have to fight some people at Target and kicked out.
Remember when Target just outright stopped selling Pokemon cards because people were fighting in the aisles during the pandemic?
The one that, like, the Target by me just recently started selling them again with the latest release. It was the final Sword and Shield booster release. I don't remember what the name of it is, but that was the first one they had sold since the pandemic.
Oh my God. I think mine started selling them probably last year at some point again. But yeah, I don't know what the deal is with it, but people were losing their minds over these Pokemon cards in like 2020 and 2021.
Pandemic brain changed us.
It really did. It changed us in ways that we will never be able to go back. Yeah. And one of those ways is we'll never be able to civilly buy Pokemon cards ever again.
That is true.
And moving on from Pokemon cards, the next thing on the stream was a tease of the new Netflix-produced Pokemon animated series. It's called Pokemon Concierge, and it's a stop-motion animated style. And it stars Haru, who is a concierge at a Pokemon resort, and then Psyduck also plays a major role. And then basically the stories are all about the Pokemon and the Pokemon. They call them owners, which I've never... that feels weird, right?
Yeah,
like, owners, they're usually called trainers.
Yeah, it's... I mean, they're just addressing what it has been. We do own these Pokemon, and we treat them like, you know, barely pets. We're fighting them, so
you're forcing them to fight to the death, essentially. But
yeah,
I don't know. It basically told through the story. The story is told through these Pokemon and their owners that come through the resort, and like her interactions with them. The tagline, I think it said like, "I hope you're happy" or something like that. I don't know if that's like a mistranslation or.
We hope you look forward.
Yeah. But I'm always wanting kind of more game-based adaptations when it comes to this stuff. And like, I don't know, but I think we've had enough of that through Ash's journeys. So yeah. Like if Netflix asked me like what kind of Pokemon story I wanted for their series, I probably would have had like 100 ideas before coming to this one. But I'm actually like kind of glad they came up with this because I love the chill vibes that the trailer gave off, even if it was just like, literally Psyduck walking across a beach and then like we got to see Haru the main character. But something about the beach vibes, the fact that it's taking place at a resort,
the stop animation is really cool.
Yeah, it's all super chill, and I don't know, it seems like I would enjoy just kind of like sitting down and watching this. And I hope they're not too long of episodes, because I could see that would be I'd maybe lose interest if they were like actually like 30-minute episodes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if these were like 10 minutes.
Yeah, they might just be bite-sized chunks, almost like when Disney Plus put out I Am Groot.
Yeah,
those little like short like 5 to 7 minute episodes featuring Groot. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like that, maybe slightly longer, but we don't know anything else about this. We know it's coming exclusively to Netflix. Which, by the way, Netflix has been the exclusive home to the Pokemon anime starring Ash since 2020. So this is not anything new, really. It's just this is the first time Netflix has actually been making the content. They've just been housing it up to this point. So this is a huge step in that. But we don't know when it's coming. But all the press releases, trailers, and images that we're seeing just say coming soon. So I'm assuming it's going to be at some point in the next few months here.
Yeah, maybe during the summer resort time.
That's a good point. But also the trailer was in Japanese. So I don't know if it's going to get localized for the English markets, or if it's just going to be like one of those like Japanese with subtitles. But we'll see. Next up on the stream, we got some rapid fire updates on some of the live service games that Pokemon Company still supports. So we'll just run this down real quick. Zacian from Pokemon Sword and Shield is joining Pokemon Unite, and then there's a boss rush currently available. The starters from Pokemon Scarlet and Violet are joining Pokemon Cafe Remix in an event, and if you finish the event, you can choose one of them to join your staff. There is also a special Great Chef outfit for Greninja that is free for everybody that logs in before March 17th. And then Pokemon Masters EX, which again is the game that I should love. Like, I think it's all about like battling Pokemon. Like, this is the exact Pokemon mobile game that I should be all about, but I just have never devoted the time to really get into it. But Lance, Alder, Iris, Diantha, and Steven are available to team up with a special rally. And then the Galar region's Neo champions are coming to the game. So that includes Champion Hop with Zapdos, Champion Bead with Articuno, Champion Marnie with Moltres, and then Leon and Charizard are back. And then they have, I guess, new moves. And then they're also offering a bunch of incentives if you log in before March 27th. So I don't know what sinks and gems are, but they are offering a bunch of them if you log in before March 27th. So I might try to do that and see if I can actually get into this game, because I've fallen so hard off of Pokemon Go at this point that I kind of wouldn't mind having that. And I thought maybe Pokemon TCG Live would be my go-to, since I have such a big collection of Pokemon cards, that maybe TCG Live was going to be it, but I just haven't found the time to go into that. I think because I'm all TCG'd out through Marvel Snap, it makes it tough to have two trading card games that I'm active in.
Agreed. Yeah, and I've had trouble keeping up with Marvel Snap already, so.
Uh-oh. I'm still playing it almost every day. It's a really fun mobile game. I would not mind that coming to Switch either.
I still check in and get my free credits, but I did not play much of the Savage Land season, and I haven't really dived into the Quantumania one yet.
The Quantumania one's almost done now.
I know. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the monthly season passes, I think is what it is. I could, like, if it was 2 months of season, I'd be okay, but monthly's tough.
Yeah, it is tough if you're not like playing it every single day. That's been my problem with Overwatch, which I've gone on a rant about that on this show before, but like, I just can't keep up with all these games that want me to log in every day and play their game. Mobile games are easier because like it's usually just kind of like, all right, I got to devote like 20 to 30 minutes a day to this. Whereas Overwatch wants you to play like 10 hours. Matches a day, which just is not feasible anymore for me. It was for several years, but now it's just, I have other stuff that demands my attention. Next up is probably the biggest portion of the stream, which was Pokemon Sleep. And here's a quote that I get what they're saying, but it was a very funny phrase when you combine it with the dark humor that the internet has bestowed upon me over the last decade. And it says, "The idea behind Pokemon Sleep is to be a game that makes you look forward to waking up in the morning."
Yeah, finally someone did it.
Finally, there's a reason to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
Basically the game, you join Pokemon Sleep researcher Professor Neroli and his Snorlax, and you put your phone next to you when you sleep, and it tracks your sleep patterns, and then it measures and analyzes your sleep and categorizes it as dozing, snoozing, or slumbering. And then based on the type of sleep that you attain, different Pokemon will sleep around Snorlax in the app, and some Pokemon have their own special kind of sleep, which, by the way, just what I needed. More anxiety as I try to go to sleep. Like, oh God, I hope I get dozing tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like this, it doesn't do much for me, but I have no doubt that people will download and use Pokemon Sleep because, you know, it has the Pokemon name on it. But the way it was positioned in this direct or this live stream makes me think that the Pokemon company believes this is a much bigger deal than everybody else thinks it is.
Yeah. This is weird. Like this is, I don't know. Yeah, like what's their goal? Like what's the aim? Like why do I need to be doing this? Why do they need to track my sleep? Like they're collecting data. I mean, they're not collecting data, but like the game is getting data like on your sleep. And like for what? I guess to make a cool Pokemon appear on a tiny screen.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I can do that in Pokemon Go or Pokemon Masters or any of the other apps that Pokemon has. And I just don't know what the incentive. Maybe I'll download it. I didn't think I was going to like Pokemon Go, and then I downloaded it and I was obsessed with it for like 3 years.
I mean, this is like so hands off. I mean, why not? Like you just put your phone, my phone stays beside me on my little desk by the bed anyway. So what's it going to harm it if it's, I mean, it's not changing anything in my sleep basically.
Yeah. Except I'm now super aware of it. If you've ever had a problem going to sleep, if you are super aware of trying to go to sleep, that does the exact opposite.
Yeah. Have you seen the, I love the memes of like Pikachu sleeping beside you, very cute. Eevee's very cute. But then it's like people have drawn up Machamp in bed with you and he's just holding you. And it's like, it starts to get a little weird whenever you have the humanoid Pokemon.
Yeah. It's very strange that there are humanoid Pokemon. It's just like, man, I don't want to hang out with Machamp.
Yeah. Like, especially in my bed.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like it comes out this summer. It's on iOS and Android, and I guess it could be cool. I'll wait and to reserve judgment, but I just don't see like why this was the thing that like they're like, hey, we kept you waiting and we're so sorry, but it's finally time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this should have been like the 2 or 3 minutes at the start of the stream, and then we move on to the stuff that people actually care about. But then to coincide with that, there's a new Pokemon Go Plus Plus. Yay. Yes, two pluses. I already had the Pokemon Go Plus, which was the little like clicky thing that it's actually somewhere in, I mean, the Game Informer, the previous Game Informer offices are now luxury condos. We were kicked out of there by the management company that owned the property because they wanted to convert it to luxury condos. But I would imagine my Pokemon Go Plus is somewhere in the rafters there. Like I it wasn't working properly and I punted it. And it, instead of coming back down, I thought it was just going to bounce off the ceiling, but no, it went like in the exact place and then it landed on top of one of the support beams. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm never seeing that thing again. So I'd imagine that it is still up there unless they really like scoured that before. So whoever is renting the or bought the condos that previously were Game Informer's offices, look on your wooden beams because there might be a Pokemon Go Plus with your name on it.
That would be amazing.
This is the Pokemon Go Plus Plus, and it works with both Pokemon Pokemon Sleep and Pokemon Go. And on Pokemon Sleep, you can press the button when you go to bed and then again when you wake up. And that'll track your sleep there, I guess. And then there is a Pikachu who sings lullabies to you if you want.
Yay. That's what I've always needed in my life.
And then with Pokemon Go, it also works. It automatically spins Pokestops. And then you can throw Pokeballs, Great Balls, and Ultra Balls at wild Pokemon. And then it eventually will allow you to connect Pokemon Sleep and Pokemon Go. And then I guess you get a special Snorlax in Pokemon Go with like a sleep cap on if you want to buy this. I don't know. And then it is available to purchase in July. And then Wes, finally, the thing we were all waiting for and the thing we all predicted, the first expansions of Pokemon Scarlet and Violet were announced. And just like the Sword and Shield expansions, the Scarlet and Violet expansions unfold over two parts. The overall expansion is called the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero. And in this, your school goes on a trip to Kitakame, which is a new area that is holding a festival. And the Pokemon Company describes it as, quote, a place of tranquil expanses featuring rice paddles and apple orchards. So part one is called the Teal Mask and part two is called the Indigo Disc. The story revolves around unraveling the mysteries behind the area's folklore. And then here's the part that like is like the act, because all that is just, you know, background. You encounter more than 230 returning Pokemon that weren't in Scarlet and Violet, which is very good. So they showed off Ninetales, Yanma, Milotic, Dewgong, and several others. And then there's also some new Pokemon. So the Teal Mask, which is part one, introduces Okidogi, Monkey Dory, which, by the way, two top-tier Pokemon names there.
No.
You're not a fan of Okidogi?
No, it's funny, but I like my Pokemon to be pocket monsters, not Okidogi and Monkey Dory.
Monkey Dory is very good.
They're good puns, but not what I want from Pokemon.
I mean, it's no Squirtle.
That's fair.
And then there's, I don't know how the hell you pronounce this, Fezziandipity?
That works.
Okay, but those are the three non-legendaries. And then there's a new legendary in each part. The Teal Mask gets Ogre Pond. And the Indigo Disc gets Terapagos, which is another kind of fun wordplay. Yeah. But that Terapagos, I like the design of this Pokemon. It's like a big, like, snapping turtle looking thing.
I'm excited to see what its ability is or something, because it looks like all the different types on its back.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even notice that.
So, like, I wonder if it has, like, an ability where it can, like, I don't know, shift to be super effective against whatever it's up against or something like
Terra
that.
It has Terra in the name, which, you know, Terra type allows you to change the type of your Pokemon.
Yeah. Ooh, I wonder if, like, maybe its Terra changes based on the weather or something.
Yeah, maybe you have the ability to change its Terra type from battle to battle. Who knows?
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be very helpful.
I like it though. It's a cool.
Yeah.
I like that one more than the other one. But
it's one of the better Pokemon designs we've gotten from like the recent generations, I would say.
Agreed. Yeah.
So the teal mask comes out fall 2023, and then the indigo disc, which wraps up the story, comes out winter 2023. So you don't have a lot of time like between the two. Whereas like, I think Sword and Shield's expansions, there was like several months between those coming out. And I remember I played the first one and then I kind of fell off and didn't spend a whole lot of time in the second one because I just moved on with my life by the time that rolled around. So I think that might be a smarter move. And it's $35 for the expansion pass. So that gives you both parts. And if you buy before October 31st, you get a Hisuian Zoroark with some special abilities. Did this DLC announcement live up to your expectations, Wes?
Yeah, it's basically met them. Exactly what I assumed we'd be getting with the DLC. It's very similar to Sword and Shields. Although I think, I forget the name of the second one for Sword and Shield, but it had the legendary boss rush, basically, where you could just go catch a ton of legendaries. I think that's really cool, and I'm hoping there's something like that in here.
Yeah, we didn't really get a whole lot of announcements on like what the cool gameplay mechanics are going to be. Like, yeah. There's really no information from this whatsoever. They shared screenshots, and the one screenshot that they shared was just the normal Scarlet and Violet like pause menu, but in the lower right corner there was a menu item to access it. And I was like, come on, that's the screenshot you guys are sharing.
Yeah, it's wasn't super revealing, but I mean, I think we both predicted that DLC would be there and that there would be a two-part type thing. So I'm excited about the locale. Like, it sounds cool, the apple orchards and the rice pads and all that. It sounds cool.
So we're actually going to run down our predictions here.
Oh, no.
All right. So new Pokemon Scarlet and Violet expansion.
Nailed
it. Yes, we did it. Next up. New spin-off title from an older franchise. I said Pokemon Stadium. You said Mystery Dungeon. We were both wrong. Yay. Nothing was announced. We said Pokemon Stadium games available on Nintendo Switch Online today. That also did not happen.
I would have bet... I think I said I would have bet my life on that. That is the biggest... upset for me. I cannot believe that did not happen, because if not then when? And we talked about last week why you don't think that they're going to sell them piecemeal. So like, what? So we're just not going to get these games on Switch or what? Like, it's
so they've already announced Pokemon Stadium is coming to Switch. I thought that was going to be available immediately, you know?
Yeah.
Then following up on that, we both said that Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games would be at least announced for Switch Online. I said Red, Blue, Yellow, maybe Fire, Red, Leaf, Green. You said you were a lot more ambitious.
Yeah.
You said Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, Silver, Crystal, Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, maybe Fire, Red, Leaf, Green. And then later you also said Ruby, Sapphire, Pinball. None of that happened.
Yeah, I was shooting for the stars and hoping to maybe get one, but turns out we got none, which is cool. Love that for us.
And then you also said Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games would be available for individual purchase. That did not happen.
Yeah, I would welcome that now. I would like it. Just give me some way to do this.
We said mobile game updates. That happened.
Yeah.
We said the first look at the new anime now that Ash's story is wrapping up. We'll go a half point for that because we didn't get like the new anime, but we did get Pokemon Concierge, which is something entirely different, but it's still an animated series.
True.
And then your big swing was Pokemon Let's Go Johto, which was a resounding...
Yeah, just a big old no. And I'm real sad about it.
So now that we've put all the cards out on the table for Pokemon Day 2023, what were your overall thoughts on this stream?
It was a pretty weak stream for me. I only cared about the DLC, but I expected exactly what we got from the DLC. So I didn't have any surprises there. And everything else was just kind of ancillary. I mean, the Netflix thing is cool. Yeah, Pokemon Sleep. We've been waiting to see that for years. But ultimately, pretty disappointed. My expectations were high from the past two streams. Like, they've had big, big reveals. But I mean, I don't know. I guess it's not surprising. I think Game Freak is probably in a break period right now. They just, you know, they went from... the remakes, which I know was Ilka, then Arceus, then Scarlet and Violet. So yeah, I guess at some point the train has to slow down a bit, and I guess that's this year.
So what letter grade would you give this stream?
Oh gosh. I would give it a C.
Yeah, I was thinking C, maybe C minus.
Yeah.
Because like, a lot of the thing that we were all excited about got like no information about it, right?
Yeah, and a lot of it is my expectations. But they had set those expectations based on their previous stream. So like they don't get, I don't know, it's tough. Like I did shoot for the stars, but those seemed like shoo-ins. Like no Game Boy or Game Boy Advance games for Switch Online, Pokemon games, is baffling.
Yeah, I don't know what the thought process behind that is, unless like Nintendo just has their own schedule and they get to choose when those games come out. I don't know. I don't know what the thought process is behind it, but yeah, I'd probably give it a C or C minus personally. And that's in stark contrast to the Nintendo Direct that we got a few weeks ago, where I think that I gave that a B or a B plus.
That was a great Direct. Really good. One of the best ones we've had in a minute.
Yeah. So that's all the news out of Pokemon Day 2023. We are going to take another short break, and when we get back, we'll be doing the eShop Gem of the Week and wrapping up the episode. We'll be right back. We are back, and we are actually going to skip definitive ranking this week, and we're going to jump right into the eShop Gem of the Week, which is always our chance to give some shine to a game that maybe otherwise wouldn't get it. So, Wes, what is your eShop Gem of the Week?
My eShop Gem of the Week is a game called Rhythmos. It's RYTMOS.
I was reading it as Rhythmos.
Yeah. It is a very relaxing music-based puzzle game. So kind of, and it has a lot of like lo-fi vibes. If you like lo-fi, I'm not speaking to music specifically, but like if you like the relaxation vibes of lo-fi and that kind of art aesthetic, that's kind of what Rhythmos is going for. So basically the game starts and you see the sun and there's these like planets orbiting around it, and they kind of explode and the planets burst into like these puzzle cubes. And then you click on a cube and you have a, like each side of the cube basically is a different puzzle. And the puzzles are very simple and meant to be more just kind of like there, you're not going to be racking your brain for 15 minutes trying to solve one puzzle. It takes a couple minutes. And basically what you're doing is you have these different like markers on this square board, and you have to move another marker through all of them. And as it goes through each one, a note plays. So if you have three markers on the square, you need to move the, there's that noise again. You have to move the marker through each of the other markers to get a beat going. And as you complete each puzzle, you'll start to hear, gosh, I'm sorry, everyone listening. My house is making all kinds of noises. But
very futuristic house.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's popping off. but yeah, so basically, as you complete a puzzle, more of the music starts to come in. And as you complete all six puzzles, then you kind of have a full song. And my favorite part is that at the end of completing all six of the puzzles, you get a you get to find out like what instrument was primarily making those tracks. And so for the first one, it was here. I took a picture of it because it's an instrument I'm not super familiar with. It was the first one I unlocked was the kalimba, which is you've seen it before. It's like that piece of wood with the little metal things on top of it, and you kind of like flick them.
Okay.
And they make like marimba sounds. But yeah, once you complete the song's playing, and then it puts that instrument on screen and you can play it using your keyboard or your like face buttons and your analog sticks. And then you can kind of just record a song if you want, like using that instrument, you can kind of make a beat using the track you completed. Yeah, you can tell this game was definitely made by like musicians, because like it's definitely like musician forward. It has like the notes on screen and stuff. And you can record it and post it if you want. I haven't done any of that. And I'm still pretty early in the game, but yeah, you're just solving these like really relaxing puzzles in space. And then you're hearing some great music appear, and then you get to play around with the instrument that you just heard. My favorite part is that each planet represents a different type of music. So for example, I'm playing through one right now, which I don't know the name of the planet. It's just like a random made up name. But the tracks, it tells you when you click it, the tracks are based on 60s and 70s Ethiopian jazz, which is cool. There was another that's like 30s and 40s Hawaiian music. And yeah, it's interesting eras for different types of music that at least I'm not super familiar with. So it's nice. I'm, as someone who loves music and plays music, it's a really cool way to kind of dive through some genres I'm not super familiar with while playing a relaxing puzzle game. Like this would be perfect for like at night in bed or on an airplane. It's a really good time. And it's only like, I want to say it's like less. Yeah. $15
on Switch. $15. And it just came out this week. So it's like a brand new eShop gem. Sometimes we dig back in like the chronicles of the eShop release calendar. But this one is should be on your new release tab of your eShop if you're into it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're just solving puzzles and then you get to make music, which is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, this immediately caught my eye. I was trying to check it out for myself because I was like, oh, that seems like a cool thing to talk about. So I'm really glad that you had a chance to check this out and bring your experience to the show. But yeah, I'm going to check it out for myself for sure. And Wes, thank you for joining me for this episode.
Yeah, for sure. Excited to be on. Hopefully,
from your from the smart house from the Disney Channel original movie.
I know we have an alarm system, and I don't know why it was going off so much. We had the doorbells and then alarms and just something. Yeah, I'm in the smart house.
Yes. Hopefully, it doesn't end the way it did for that family because it did not go well. Spoiler alert from that show from that movie from like what 1999.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't end that way.
But yeah, thank you so much to everyone for listening. Do me a favor if you haven't already, throw All Things Nintendo a 5-star review and hit the subscribe button. If you want to get any questions or comments in, you can get in touch with me at allthingsnintendo@gameinformer.com or hit me up on Instagram @BrianPichet. And as always, you can join the Game Informer community Discord, which is a perk for subscribing to our Twitch channel, even just for 1 month. I'm in there interacting with our listeners all the time and also across all the other channels. There's all kinds of places you can enjoy the lovely community that we have at Game Informer. Wes, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter @LeBlancWes. You can find or hear my voice on the Game Informer YouTube channel where we post new gameplay todays. Just this week, we put 2 Final Fantasy 16 videos up, as well as some Bayonetta, I forget the name of that prequel title, but we have an NGT of that.
Bayonetta Origins, Syriza and the Lost Demon.
Yes, that one. Yeah, so keep an eye on there for awesome gameplay previews, and then you can find my writing on GameInformer.com.
All right, that is our show for this week. Thank you again for listening. Take care. We'll see you next time.